Who is the man who crucified Jesus and lifted up the cross?
Join us as we take an artistic journey and explore this topic on today's Masterstroke episode.
The Healthy Foodie is also back with a delicious recipe, and we have music from Fountain View Academy.
Plus, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to a brand new hope-filled episode of Wake Up with Hope. You know, today is Secretary Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a church secretary and she's a great one and I'm very thankful for her. Mm-hmm. So happy day to all the secretaries out there doing such a very important job.
I agree with that. They are a blessing. Well, we are officially over a month into spring season. So tell us how you've been spending your spring. Have you been taking care of some much-needed spring cleaning? Are you enjoying the beautiful flowers and leaves on the trees? I know I am. Spring is my favorite
season. Oh, it is. I know.
Friends, we would love to hear from you. Send us a picture. We'd love to hear how it looks in your area of the world.
You know, springtime is special. It's a beautiful reminder of how we, too, can be made anew in Jesus. So as I look around and I look at all the new growth, it truly looks so beautiful. And that's exactly what God wants to do with us and wants to do with our hearts. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God promises to give us a new heart and to put His Spirit within us. You know, God wants to change us into someone beautiful from the inside out, someone amazing, someone who can reflect His own love and His kindness to the world. And springtime is a wonderful reminder of that. So we hope that you can experience the joy of that promise during our program today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1800, President John Adams signed legislation allocating $5,000 for the acquisition of essential books to establish the Library of Congress. The initial collection, sourced from London, arrived in 1801 and found its home in the U.S. Capitol. The first catalog, compiled in April 1802, documented 964 volumes and 9 maps. However, tragedy struck 12 years later when British forces invaded Washington, D.C., resulting in the destruction of the Capitol and the Library of Congress, which housed 3,000 volumes. After the devastation, former President Thomas Jefferson, who championed library expansion during his presidential tenure, took action in response to the loss. He offered Congress his personal library, renowned as the largest and most distinguished in the nation, to recommence the rebuilding of the library. The library was clearly treasured by President Thomas Jefferson.
You know, friend, do you treasure Jesus as your most prized possession? What have you given up? What have you sold for Him? You know, Jesus spoke on this concept when He said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." You know, the pearl of great price is Jesus Himself. Jesus desires to lead every one of us to appreciate that pearl and Himself, also above all else. It's a treasure above every earthly treasure. Friends, have you considered Him as of utmost importance in your life? We invite you to start now.
Amen. Creamy, spicy peanut butter noodles. It's what's for dinner. The Healthy Foodie is here to share this delicious recipe.
The man who raised the cross, the man who crucified Jesus, the two men on either side of Jesus. What lessons do we find in their roles? Well, in today's Masterstroke episode, we explored another painting for spiritual perspective.
One of the most unique paintings of the cross is this 1633 work from Rembrandt. Jesus is being hoisted towards the sky. We see a shovel in the foreground. A number of people are looking on. And a few people, including a soldier, are lifting up the cross. But notice who's in the center of the painting. Here's a man with both hands around the cross. He's the heavy lifter, the one most responsible for crucifying Christ. Rembrandt has painted the light squarely on him, so none of us miss the point. Who is he? It's Rembrandt. Out of the 90 Rembrandt self-portraits, I believe this one is the most significant. Wearing his blue artist beret, his brow is wrinkled, his lips pursed, and he's looking very concerned over the whole event. Why? Because the gospel had seeped deep into his heart. Rembrandt knew it was his sins that had crucified Christ. He felt personally responsible. Leading homeward to the rest of all, were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it may. There's one more aspect I want you to notice. Look at the man watching the scene in the background. That's Rembrandt. And he's looking directly at us. Maybe he's asking if we see ourselves in his painting. Can you see you're a sinner? Can you also see you're responsible for the death of Jesus? And most importantly, can you see that Jesus has taken your sins and given you eternal life? That's the key message from Rembrandt's raising of the cross.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And search for us on YouTube and subscribe to our channel to keep up with each one of our episodes.
Coming up after the break, we will have music from Fountain View Academy. And later, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be sharing an inspiring devotional thought.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Friends, do you feel broken, discouraged, or disappointed? This morning, we want to invite you to look to Jesus as Fountain View Academy sings, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant.
Upon Jesus, look.
death into life everlasting. He passed and we follow.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
We now have to take a short break, but when we return, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will share an eye-opening message from the Bible with us.
Welcome back to our morning program, friends. How are you enjoying it this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share an inspiring message.
It is great to see you. I hope you're doing well today, that you recognize you're blessed. I'm not going to say I hope you're blessed. Of course you're blessed. You have a mind. Your heart is beating. You can, by faith, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are blessed. And if there's some challenge or difficulty going on in your life, my heart is with you. And I hope you'll find solace and comfort and peace through Jesus and the assurance that God is with you and the assurance that one day God is going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. That is the truth. So one day, Jesus came ashore and he was met by an hideous scene. A couple of men who were demon-possessed approached Jesus. When I say approached, I don't know that they approached, as perhaps ran at him with fury. Now, according to the Bible, these men were out of control. People had tried to restrain them with chains. They broke the chains. They bound them with fetters of some kind, and they broke those. They spent a lot of time living among tombs. Yuck. But that's what they did. They were demon-possessed. They weren't in their right mind. They spent their time naked. it just wasn't a good scene at all. And so Jesus cast the demons out of them. Interesting exchange. The demons said, when Jesus asked them their name, they said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." Now, two men, and they called themselves Legion, the demons did. In a Roman legion, there were about 3,000 to 5,000 soldiers. Does this mean that these men were possessed with thousands of demons? I think it has to, right? I think it has to. They were fully given over to the power of the devil. Jesus cast the demons out, and they said, "Please allow us to enter into the swine." Now, it's a bit of a mystery as to why they wanted that, and Jesus said yes, but if Jesus hadn't said you can go into the pigs, they may have gone to the pigs and the people. They may have gone further and done greater damage. So Jesus was restraining them. At the same time, it may well have been that these were Jewish people who were tending to the pigs, and Jesus knew that they knew Jews shouldn't be herding swine, and so Jesus was going to remove that illicit livelihood from them, give them an opportunity to think again. They said, "Send us into the swine." Jesus said, "Go into the swine." 2,000 pigs, and they started running violently down a hillside, off a cliff, and into the water of the lake, and they drowned, they perished. I mean, think about that. It had to be an awful sight. 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of bacon. A lot. And one by one by one, or maybe, you know, hundreds and hundreds at once, they launched themselves off the cliff into the Sea of Galilee. They drowned. There would have been a terrible lot of squealing, and it would have been a hideous sight. So here's what happened. Here are a couple of men who were tyrannizing the area. People were scared of them. They lived among tombs. They wouldn't wear clothes. They were so strong that they broke their chains. And now the Bible says they were clothed and in their right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. This incredible work of transformation had been seen. I mean, I spoke to a guy the other day, great, fine man, suit and a shirt on, and I'd like to say he had well-combed hair, but he didn't because he was bald, but he had a well-shaved head, I guess we could say. He spoke respectfully, very respectable man. Then he showed me photographs of what he was like more than 20 years ago. I said, "This is another man. It's another human being." That was back when he lived a rough life. He was an angry-looking, evil-looking guy. Today, I mean, man, he looks like a saint of God, and that's not an exaggeration. So here were these men whose faces had to have been contorted and twisted, and they were angry, and they were frightful, and they put fear into people, terrorized people, but now an absolute transformation. Their faces would have shone. They were full of joy. They had hope. They smiled. They didn't look angry or violent anymore. People saw that and they said, "What about our pigs?" That's what they said. They didn't say, "Oof, Jesus just saved those men and transformed them and made them into useful and productive members of society, trustworthy, respectable people." They didn't give that a thought. They said, "What about our pigs?" That's what they said. And the Bible says they pleaded with Jesus to leave their region. "Would you get out of here?" So that's a fascinating thing in and of itself. They begged Jesus to leave. Oh, societies do that. Families do that. Universities do that. People do that. Firms and businesses do that. They say to Jesus, "We don't want you around here. We want you gone." No question about it. Bars and nightclubs. "No, no, don't want Jesus here. You're out." And they beg him to leave. But these were people who should have known better. People now, individuals. And they said, "Go away and don't come back. What about our pigs?" It's really interesting, isn't it? They lost their livelihood, at least their pig farming business, and they blamed God for their loss. Was Jesus responsible for their loss? No. Now you're going to say, "But wait a second, he was the one who told the demons that they could go into the pigs." Now, there's nothing to say they wouldn't have done that anyway. They may have done that anyway. even though Jesus gave them permission, it wasn't Jesus who led the piggies down the hillside and into the lake to their demise. It was the devil. Everybody agrees with that. It was demons who rushed the pigs down the hillside and into the waters of the Sea of Galilee. And yet God got the blame. Your insurance company probably insures you against an act of God. Homes, that is, an act of God. So, a tornado, act of God. Hurricane, act of God. Is a flood an act of God? That may be different to the insurers, I don't know. An act of God, that was not an act of God. You're giving God the blame for something that the devil does. Yeah, but God could have stopped it. Yes, doesn't mean he caused it. It means he simply did not act to prevent it. Oh, you don't like the sound of that? Well, I'd like you to think about how God protected you on the roads yesterday, and how you don't have cancer, and how your diabetes is cleared up, and how when that angry person didn't like the way you looked at them, they went in another direction. God intervened to spare you. When you're about to make a cataclysmic financial decision that would have brought ruin to your family or to your business, God intervened, something happened, you didn't make that decision, God did great things. So don't be saying God doesn't intervene, he intervenes all the time. Why does he not always intervene? I don't know. We'll get to ask him one day. But the problem is when people start blaming God for what the devil does. No, God did not take away your wife. He did it. Why did he allow it? That I don't know. But he was good enough to give you a wife that you love, obviously, and then miss. So instead of belly aching about God taking away the blessing, you are going to instead thank God that he gave you that great blessing and that one day in eternity, you can hold her hand again. See what I'm saying? Let's not blame God. It's small. It's intellectually dishonest. It's kind of lazy. And it's terrible, terrible theology. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says God is faithful. The Bible says God is merciful. The Bible says God is good. He is all those things. The people of that area said, go away. We don't want you here. You cause problems. Jesus doesn't cause problems. Jesus causes solutions. And I hope you'll allow him to be the solution to all of your challenges today. Great to see you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pastor John. What a blessing.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow morning. We will have another Reflections of Hope episode on the God of the Desert and music by Neville Peters. Plus, The Incredible Journey will be back with another insightful talk, and John Peckham will continue his series on knowing God. We can't wait to see you tomorrow morning.
And if you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed to help you begin or refresh your relationship with Jesus.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. You will be blessed and encouraged.
Now, before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11.
But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten.
Wow. Now, friends, let that sink in today. The Lord that goes with you is mighty and awesome. And with him on your side, your enemies will not prevail.
I love that. God is for us.
Amen.
And for that, we can have a wonderful Wednesday as we trust in him.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, as we begin this day, Lord, or carry on, we know that we have you with us. And that gives us so much hope and strength and courage to be able to face anything with no fear. Because you are with us and you can handle any circumstance we find ourselves in. So thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. They're so faithful and true. In Jesus' name, amen.